Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our very special guest this morning is Ms. Karen Evans, Administrator of the Office of E-Government and Information Technology at the Office of Management and Budget. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
Also joining us in our conversation, also from IBM, is Sean Dagg, who has worked with Karen in OMB during the recent Hurricane Katrina. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Karen, can you tell us a little bit about the mission and goals of the Office of Management and Budget, otherwise known as OMB, and specifically the Office of E-Government and Information Technology?
Well, my office in particular within the Office of Management and Budget is responsible for managing and overseeing what the government does with its resources for information technology. So it's really ensuring that we leverage our capabilities and that we are making prudent use of the taxpayers' dollars while we're meeting the president's priorities.
Right. What specifically is your role and responsibilities as administrator?
Well, I have very specific responsibilities, which is overseeing the information technology throughout the federal government, working on activities that are specifically called for within the E-Government Act of 2002. I direct the activities of the Chief Information Officers Council, which is a government-wide forum that we can exchange ideas and best practices. I'm also responsible for capital planning and investment, cybersecurity, privacy, and ensuring access and dissemination of information.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of your previous positions before being appointed administrator?
Well, I have a lot of previous positions. I actually started out as a park interpreter with the National Park Service while I was in college and came to Washington, D.C. over 24 years ago as a clerk typist at the Office of Personnel Management, have worked my way through there. I've worked at several different departments and agencies, and my most recent position coming into my current role was the Chief Information Officer at Department of Energy.
Can I ask what language you were interpreting when you started that?
That's a really fun job. We're called park interpreters, and what we do is we interpret history at this particular park. So I worked at Harpers Ferry National Historical Park and had to give a lot of walking tours and things like that, so it was a lot of fun.
Very interesting. Can you give us a comparison on working on IT issues within a specific federal agency to that of working on government-wide systems?
You have different roles when you're specifically within an agency, and working my way through this, like when I worked at Department of Justice and down in a component organization versus working at a department-wide position, you bring different points of reference and what you're looking at. The problems and the challenges are always the same. What I think you find different is the scope. The scope always gets larger. So in this particular job, my scope is huge, and you have to take into consideration the multiple missions going across the agencies. But the challenges in how you go about implementing a project, how you analyze it, how you analyze a program, how you would go about managing an IT project are the same.
Very interesting. Now, given what you just said about your path through your career and the varied positions, how has your management and leadership style changed throughout your career in those different roles?
That's a fascinating question, and I've been asked this often, and I have to really reflect a lot on this. Again, a lot of it has to do with your point of reference and where you are in your career. I don't think that you necessarily have to have a title to be a leader. I think a lot of times it's if you have a really good idea that is going to meet a requirement and you have the ability to be able to communicate that idea and people understand the value of what you want to achieve, that a person who's a GS-5 working on an interagency task force can become the leader of that task force. So when you ask my own development of what changed, I think a lot of it is awareness of being able to use your communication skills, develop those, and also be able to articulate from an information technology standpoint the business value. If I always talked in terms of technology, and a lot of times within my own department, my own agency now at OMB, we talk about this. You know, I could sit there and talk about cybersecurity, federal enterprise architecture, all the business models, all the metrics, all these. And a lot of the budget examiners would not necessarily understand why they would want to embrace the use of this. But when I talk to them about, hey, did you know that HHS is doing the same type of project that Department of Justice is? And for the mere, you know, value of maybe getting them together in a meeting, they could work together and get done sooner. That comes through the analysis of using all the information technology tools, but articulating it in a way that a budget examiner says, oh, gosh, there's something in this for me, and I can really get my program done, and I can help meet that objective and that priority. So I think it's your communication skills and then being able to apply them to what we would call what's in it for me.
Karen, I'm always sort of fascinated by people's stories, and I know that you have a degree in chemistry as well as an MBA, but what drew you to public service, and what's kept you in public service all these years?
So this is not going to be a really exciting story. What drew me to public service is my father is a retired civil servant as well, and this is not very glamorous, is that I needed to get insurance. And so I was not married yet, and my father said, look, for a little while, why don't you just come down to Washington, D.C. and take a job at the Office of Personnel Management, take the Clark Typist test. And I said, okay, sure, I can do that for a while. And 25 years later, this September will be 25 years later, I'm still here. So what kept me here is really cool assignments. I mean, every time I would think like, oh, gosh, I'm going to go back home, I would get assigned to a new project that was just really very fascinating. And to work with the people and the caliber of people that I had the opportunity to work with and being able to make a difference, it's very exciting work. And so it's fun. It's a lot of fun. That's why I stay.
How is the federal government coordinating infrastructure and architecture planning? We will ask OMB Administrator of e-Government and Information Technology, Karen Evans, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.